You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host. This fall, NBC premiered a comedy series called The New Normal, which was produced by the makers of Glee. These two shows are awash in family breakdown and supposedly reflect family values in America today. To explore what family values in society today really look like, the Baptist Messenger commissioned leading authors and writers and experts on a special edition, the November 15th edition of the Baptist Messenger, to explore these topics. And leading the way was none other than Dr. Al Mohler. Dr. Albert Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, and one of the leading voices in America, really throughout the world, on cultural issues, theological issues, and I want to welcome him to this edition of Messenger Insight.
Brian, it's great to be with you. Thank you.
Now, in your piece, you talk about how did we get here, and you pinpoint what you call the family crisis as a theological crisis. What did you mean by that?
Well, let's start with the understanding that the family is not some evolutionary experiment. It's not something that's just a sociological development. We as Christians, addressing this from a Christian worldview, understand that the family is one of God's greatest gifts. It's the structural issue of creation, as God created human beings alone in His image and then gave us the context and covenant of marriage and then established the family. To the first man and the first woman, to Adam and Eve, were given the command to go forth and to multiply. The family is a theological structure. It is a theological reality. It's even a theological truth before it's anything else. So if there's a problem with the family, if there's a family crisis, it has to be, first of all, a theological crisis, which means we've turned our back on our Creator's intention.
That's such a great point, and I love how you bring us right back to our beginnings with the creation and the book of Genesis. Your piece, of course, lists some of the statistics that are shocking about out-of-wedlock births, the divorce rate, cohabitation, but you present these theological facts, one of which you've hit on, and the second of which you say is our great need for marriage and family as protections in a world marked by sin. Could you talk about that point for a moment?
Well, in his sovereignty, God knew what we would need in a world that is so marked by fallenness and sin. I mean, everything around us cries out the corruption of sin. And so in a world in which the family was from the very beginning to be for the glory of God and for human flourishing, it becomes even more important, because how else are we going to raise children? Who's going to take responsibility for children? How will the human race be perpetuated? How will children be cared for? You know, the family and the most basic unit of the family, which is marriage, has been the context throughout human history that has explained why fathers take responsibility for their children, why there is a public institution known as marriage that requires and emphasizes monogamy and sexual exclusivity between couples. What we're really talking about here is something that becomes even more important, because the world is now a far more dangerous place. Eden was not a dangerous place at all. Our world is inherently dangerous, and in order to get through it alive and flourishing, the family and marriage become even more important.
That's well said. And your third theological fact ties into that, and you say that the church, the redeemed people of God, have a continued affirmation of the family. Could you unpack that point a little bit?
Well, absolutely, because even as there are many people in this country who say they love the family and admire the family, want to honor the family, even as there are many people who say they represent family values, for the church, the family isn't a value. It's an essential truth. It is one of God's greatest and purest gifts to His human creatures, and it is to be held in honor among us. And for that reason, where you find Christians, you find people who understand that the family is not just about the family. It's not even just about the culture. It's not, as the Nazis believe, just about the nation. It's not, as many postmodernists believe, just about whatever you want it to be. It is instead a part of the goodness of God's creation. It's given to us for our good, for human flourishing. And the defense of marriage then means that we love our neighbor and want them to flourish. Any attempt to subvert the family, beginning with marriage, is actually something that we know will lead to human unhappiness and to a restriction of human flourishing.
You talk about in your piece that marriage and family have an implication for our improvement, our sanctification, but also eternal life. What did you mean by that point?
Well, first of all, we have the beautiful reality that in the Scripture, the primary metaphor of the relationship between Christ and His church is that of marriage, with the church as the bride and Christ as the bridegroom. We also understand that even as we see in the Scriptures promises given to families, with patriarchs and matriarchs honored for generations to come, we recognize that there are eternal consequences. For one thing, we can even trace it to this. It is far more likely that a person will respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ between the years of childhood and early adulthood. That is the time in which the child and the young person has the primary frame of reference in the home. Once that young person is outside the home, if he or she has not come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the statistical chance that he or she will actually drops off tremendously. That's why the responsibility of Christian parents to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is so important. That's why my parents had me there at the church every time the doors were open, because often my parents are actually opening the doors of the church. And that's why I'm so thankful for that legacy. I was surrounded by Christian people. I was surrounded by the things of Christ. I was surrounded by the gospel. And that's why I know you and other Oklahoma Baptists understand it's so important that we raise our children in the context of the faith and of the church, because this has eternal consequences and we know it.
One thing I loved about your article is that you say, Christians know that the family cannot save us, only Christ can save. But we also know that God loves us and has given us marriage and the family for our protection and flourishing. And this article can be viewed at BaptistMessenger.com. And I love, Dr. Moeller, how you framed it and fit in with the other pieces. There's a piece by Sean Crawley about family trends in today's church, from Walker Moore about the cultural shift, from Rebecca George at OBU about pornography in the modern family. Yeah. We've got one on youth and family breakdown. We've got one from Charlene Hias, who lived in a homosexual life and was saved and set apart from that, titled, How Do I Respond When a Loved One Says I'm Gay? And then Anthony Jordan rings the bell and talks about family buildup, where we go from here. But Dr. Moeller, I had just one more question about your piece and your thoughts on the family. At this juncture for America and the church, are you hopeful and optimistic, or are you gravely concerned, or a mixture, looking to the future?
Yeah, I think it's all the above, and I think any sane, rational, reflective Christian has to understand there's reason for all this. Ultimately, we aren't called to be optimistic or pessimistic. Both of those are probably good secular options, but not for a Christian. We're to live in hope, and it's the assured hope of knowing that God will have His way, He will accomplish His purpose, and He is in control. But it's a hope that isn't just optimism, because we don't believe that that means that in this life everything's going to turn out optimistically. It often doesn't do so. Human sinfulness makes certain that it isn't so. But we still live in hope. We're the only people who can die securely, because we can die, and as believers, we'll die in Christ. But when it comes to our families, it just underlines how important this is. You know, I begin the article by citing Christopher Lash, who many years ago defined the family as a haven in a heartless world. You know, and it is that. And that's why we should be unembarrassed to say we find many of our most precious joys in marriage and in our families. But that's also why I said what you quoted earlier, the family can't save us. You know, God's glorified when a pagan father honors his marriage and raises his children and cares for them. God's glorified in what anyone does in honoring the structures of creation He's given us. But no matter how well ordered the family, no matter how wonderful and flourishing the marriage, those things can't save us. Only Christ can. And that's why the church knows that the only thing actually more important in this life than the family is the church, the family of faith. And why we've got to do everything we can while honoring our earthly family to share a witness to the gospel so that others will be part of our heavenly and eternal family as well.
Amen to that. Now, Dr. Moeller, before we sign off, I want to alert our listeners that you have an important new book called The Conviction to Lead, 25 Principles for Leadership That Matters. And if I could take privilege and ask you one question about that book is,
sure,
what did spark you to write this book at this time on this topic?
Well, so much has been written about leadership, Brian, but I felt from a Christian perspective that what was missing was the understanding of conviction in leadership. And so the title of the book really says it all, The Conviction to Lead. I want to redefine leadership in terms of conviction that leads to right action. And I think there's much to be learned from a lot of the books out there on leadership, but as a Christian, I want to lean into the conviction that this should frame every other reality that's part of leadership. And by the way, this is, I think, essential to Christian parenting. Fathers need to know how to lead, and not just in terms of the mechanics of leadership, but how to lead by conviction so that our children represent and embrace those same convictions. Fathers and mothers, I think, would benefit because they're the first leaders, even as the home is the first church.
Great point. We're talking to Dr. Albert Moeller, who is president of the Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. You can find him on Twitter at Albert Moeller, AlbertMoeller. Dr. Moeller, thank you for joining us on Messenger Insight, for writing this piece, and for all of your great work for the kingdom of God and his glory.
Brian, thank you so much, and thanks not only to you and to the Oklahoma Baptist Messenger, but to all Oklahoma Baptists with whom I'm very thankful to be in partnership.
Blessings to you.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.